Congressman Blake Fahrenthold is my guest. He is the new chairman of the Federal Workforce, Postal Service, and Census Subcommittee of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Sir, what are the agenda items that you expect to cover as the chairman of this committee?
Well, I think we need to take a look at the federal workforce, need to make sure we're getting our money's worth out of what we're spending on federal employees, and we need to make sure that the federal workforce is treated fairly and compensated for what they do.
The view of the average federal worker of Congress is skeptical at this point, and what I hear, not just from the groups that I'm sure you hear from too, but from the rank-and-file members, is we're not sure that they understand the level of work that we're performing. We're not sure that they understand the conditions under which we're working. What are you and your colleagues on the committee doing to try to understand those issues better?
Well, we're going to have a variety of hearings to take a look at what's going on. And listen, I'm a former technology consultant. One of the things that I have discovered since I came to Washington, D.C. is in a lot of cases, a lot of agencies can't compute their way out of a paper bag. And I think we can make a lot of folks' jobs easier with technology.
One of the things that I have heard from people, political appointees of both parties, administrations throughout the last 10, 15, 20 years, when they're finished with their government services, I'm amazed at the quality of the people in the federal government. And that seems to be a message that's lost in Congress right now. Are you interested in highlighting the good things that people at federal agencies are doing in addition to ways that they can improve performance?
I think that's absolutely critical. You can't just go and complain and let the small percentage of our federal workforce that are not the best workers. And you know, in any workplace, you've got you know the people, but you've got to also highlight the people who really are exceptional. And you see that every day. But you don't hear about it on the news.
Now, one of the things that federal employees talk about, and I hear about it on a pretty regular basis, is the pay freeze, furloughs, and all the things associated with sequestration. Tell me about the Protecting America's Civilian Employees Act that you're sponsoring, and what kind of impact that would have on the federal workforce.
Well, what the PACE Act that I introduced does is it requires the OMB to go back and look at all of the agency's budgets and see if there isn't ways to get the cuts required by the sequestration without furloughs. Quite frankly, I think the White House has politicized sequestration and tried to make it as painful as possible, not just for the federal workforce, but for everybody in the American public. You know, you hear about the furloughs of air traffic controllers and the delays that are expected at airports, the same with TSA. If I had to cut 3% out of my budget, I could choose to not pay my mortgage and say I'm going to be homeless, or I could cancel cable and maybe be a little bit inconvenienced. So what we're trying to do with the PACE Act is have the administration go back and say, are there better ways to get these cuts than on the backs of the federal workforce?
Now, would you be open to an idea coming back from the Senate? It appears that Senator Mikulski wants to give agencies a lot more latitude when it comes to moving that money around, similar to the way that the House bill allows DOD and VA to do that. Is that something you'd be amenable to applying at other agencies too?
While I haven't seen the specific bill, I think we need to give our agencies the flexibility to find the cuts. You don't need to look any further than Congress. This is my second term in Congress. In my first term, we were able to cut 6% out of our budgets, and under sequestration, we're actually cutting another 8% out of our budgets. And you know, we're being smart about it, and we found ways to get our work done. And you know, we're switching to email instead of printed mail. Yeah, you know, we're changing some of the ways we do things to try to do it in the least painful manner. And I think we ought to give our agencies that same flexibility.
You mentioned technology as a possible source of savings, Mr. Chairman. What are some ideas that you would like to see agencies pursue, or that you would at least like to learn more about the feasibility of in the federal agencies vis-a-vis technology?
I think we need to go to the best and brightest in academia and the private sector and say, hey, look, let's come up with some open standards. Kind of the way one of the biggest success stories of federal government, I think, is the Internet. It was originally created by the DOD as ARPANET, as a way for scientists in universities to collaborate. And because we came up with standards that everybody adopted, we now have a technology that virtually every computer in the world can connect to. If we can use that same for a data standard within the federal government and come up with standards for disclosing who gets paid what, like the Data Act that's coming up in the OGR, where there's more transparency and government computers talk to each other. One of the things that frustrates me the most is veterans that come out of the armed service injured and with a disability. It takes oftentimes a year for the VA to process all of their data and start getting the disability benefits. Why can't they pull all the data from the military's computers, accept the military's diagnosis until the VA gets around to it, and immediately get our veterans the benefits they deserve?
And you actually are going, sir, in the kind of direction that I wanted to go next. What are some of the things that you hear from your constituents that when they either express their frustrations or their happiness with the services they get from the federal government?
Really, the number one complaint that I hear is that the government costs too much. So we've got to find some efficiencies. And often that falls on the back of our federal workers, because that's a big chunk of the budget. And it there needs to be a focus, just like we have in the private sector and the government, on customer service. We need to be adopting some of the best models from the private sector, you know, continuous improvement, implementing employee-based suggestions, coming up with ways like Henry Cuellar's bill from last year that rewards outstanding customer service. In Corpus Christi, Texas, where I'm from, we have the Corpus Christi Army Depot, which repairs and rebuilds helicopters. You know, they've adopted Lean Six Sigma and are saving millions of dollars on having federal employees, civilian employees, repair the rotary wing aircraft at a fraction of what it can be done in the private sector. That's an example we need to be following the rest of government.
And again, you anticipated my next question, sir. You're making this very easy on me. Tell me about some of the installations or offices or such in your district, federal government operations.
Well, obviously the biggest and most successful is CCAD. That's the Corpus Christi Army Depot that I was talking about. We have postal sorting facilities, a lot of postal stuff. The committee that I'm on is actually the Committee on the Federal Workforce Census and Postal Service. Some, you know, obviously FAA towers, just like in a lot of agriculture. It's primarily an agricultural district that spans from Corpus Christi to just south outside of Austin, Texas. The district I represent goes up to Bastrop. And includes Victoria, Texas as well. A lot of CBP, and Homeland Security, with multiple ports and proximity to the border with Mexico.
Mr. Chairman, you mentioned the Postal Service. Everybody and his brother seems to have an idea about how to fix the Postal Service or get it back on track. What is your viewpoint as far as what you want to learn more about or what you would like to see the Postal Service do, being the chairman of this subcommittee?
We've got to quit the $1 billion per month losses of the Postal Service. And I realize a lot of postal employees say, look, it's the requirement that Congress has put on us to pre-fund our pensions. I tell the postal workers, and some of them get it and some of them disagree with me, but if I were a federal employee, I would want my pension as fully funded as possible, so I'm not reliant on the whims of Congress when it comes time to collect the retirement that I've earned. So I do think we've got to fund the pensions, but we do need to make sure that the math is right and we're doing it in a way that least cripples the Postal Service. Now, I don't see a big turnaround barring an entry into some electronic things from the post office. You know, we're paying our bills online now. We're sending more email. And it's a decrease in volume. So what I think we can do, and what the Postal Service is talking about, what we're talking about here in Congress, is making sure the service stays solvent, but also we're going to end up having to shrink down the postal workforce's volume drops. I think we can do that through natural attrition. I think we can do that. Saturday mail was one thing. No more Saturday mail except for packages was something that's being floated around. It has a surprisingly high popularity rate in the polls. I think we're going to see a push towards more curbside delivery or cluster mailboxes, depending on the geography of where you are, rather than, in a lot of areas of the country, the mail is actually dropped through a slot in the front door. If we can get it where the person delivering the mail doesn't have to get out of their vehicle as much, each person can cover a whole lot more mailboxes.
The Postal Service, the Saturday delivery issue was one that showed up in the bill that you had sent to the Senate, the provision for the Postal Service to stop the first-class delivery on Saturday was essentially crossed out in that bill. Are there some things that you expect with the Postal Service will be harder for you to work with your colleagues than others?
Well, I don't understand why the Saturday delivery isn't a no-brainer. Over 70% approval rating with the American public. The big argument against not delivering on Saturday was how do people who work Monday through Friday get their medications and packages delivered? Well, Postal Service came up with a brilliant solution to that and say, hey, look, we're just not going to bring the junk mail on Saturdays. We'll bring the packages.
The ranking member on your committee is Congressman Lynch from Massachusetts. Mr. Lynch has been covering these issues for a long time and is very familiar with them, just as you are, sir. Tell me about your relationship with him and how you're working with him to set the agenda for what the subcommittee will cover.
Well, there's a little bit of a struggle as Mr. Lynch is running for Senate, but he is committed to these issues, and we're finding time to do what needs to be done. We're going to work with the minority side to make sure that their views are always heard. And a lot of the postal issues and a lot of the federal workforce issues are not these core differences between Republicans and Democrats that we see on things like taxing and spending. So I think there's a reasonable opportunity to work well across the aisle.